Gold in the Dirt, written by Flower Parrish and read by K-Burb. This is a Clone Wars fic rated teen and up audiences in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship between John Antilles / Fox / Quinlan and is tagged with introspection heavy, pre-relationship, established Quinlan / Fox, pre-polyamory, Coruscant guard troopers deserve better, John Antilles lives, PTSD, nightmares, and falling in love. This is currently part 11 of Soldiers, Poets, Kings.
Maybe then my breath could embody a wildfire starting. I'd sweep up the forest floor in my body, breathe life into the corners, be a darker soil.
Fox doesn't know what to do with a traumatized Jedi. Traumatized Vod, sure. 9 times out of 10, all they need is closeness, contact, reassurance. Even the Vode who prefer no touch can usually be brought down by having a Vod nearby, on guard, and the tacit reassurance of that protection. John is not a Vod, and Fox gets the feeling he's not normal for a Jedi. Quinlan isn't either, by his own admission first and foremost, but John is similar to Quinlan in all of the ways Fox has managed to piece together that Quinlan is different from the others. But John isn't like Quinlan either, not really. John acts like the worst of when Wolf came back mutilated by a Sith, but where Wolf slowly came back down from that knife's edge of alertness that bordered on paranoia, John doesn't seem to ever have a moment of relaxation. He isn't comforted by anyone standing guard, which is fair enough, because what can a clone do that a trained Jedi can't? But he isn't comforted by touch either. Actually, he flinches every time anyone comes near enough to touch him, seems willing to back himself into a corner rather than accidentally brush up against anyone else. He has nightmares, too. Fox is familiar with them. There's not a Vod in the guard who doesn't wake up sometimes screaming or crying or gasping for air. But John wakes silently. He goes somehow even more tense than he always is, and then he takes long minutes to unfreeze from a statuesque stillness. His breath is always even, calm, but Fox would bet all the credits he doesn't have that John's heart is racing in his chest. But all of that aside, Fox wouldn't trade John for anything. John is kind. He hesitates at first to heal Fox's injuries, afraid of causing more pain. But once, when he acquiesces and eases a migraine and the sharp pain spikes before dissipating, Fox nearly cries with relief. John must be able to feel it, because he doesn't hesitate to heal any injury Fox brings him later, whether his own or his troopers. Eventually, John finds his place. He does not go to the temple, does not engage with the Senate. Instead, he makes a second home in Medbay, healing injuries they simply do not have the supplies or ability to treat. Fox would love him for that alone. He keeps a guard on John at all times. Fox cannot ignore his duties. That would be too suspicious. But much to Fox's dismay, John regularly goes out into the underbelly of Coruscant rather than staying hidden in the, admittedly dubious, safety of the guard's complexes. However, once Fox swallows his pride and explains how anxious it makes him to lose track of John for any period of time, the flighty Jedi agrees to keep one of Fox's commanders or captains with him, going so far as to provide plain clothes for them to share in case they need to go unnoticed. Stone enjoys accompanying John on his wanderings. Thyre tolerates it with good grace. Thorn would rather be anywhere else and will sometimes take over Fox's duties so he can go instead. Fox's newest Vodica, Tra, jumps at every opportunity to accompany John when the commanders are too tied up in Senate business. Fox suspects this is less about John and his wanderings and more about her excitement to wear Natborn clothes. Fox enjoys it too, even if it often means abandoning his armor for hours at a time. The guard rarely even deshells to sleep, and Fox feels jittery and anxious without the plastoid protection. But he enjoys blending in with a crowd in a way an armored guard never can, enjoys not being seen as just a nameless clone, but instead as a nameless person. John doesn't seem to do much. He does odd jobs, sometimes helps strangers, and after a while, Fox realizes that he's gathering a network in his own way. Help enough people, become a trusted stranger, in so much as anyone can ever trust a stranger, particularly the wary denizens of Coruscant's lower levels, and eventually, when he's ready to ask his questions, he'll likely find some answers. Fox does his best to stay in the background, going unnoticed, while John does his thing. One day, near midday but at the start of Fox's off shift, because his schedule is never so neat and repetitive as to allow for things like consistent and regular sleep, Fox asks him about it. "Why do you go to the Undercity and not the levels higher up? As a Jedi, those with more influence would likely give you an audience." John's voice is soft when he answers, but rough, too, like he hasn't spoken in days. For all Fox knows, that's not far from the truth. John takes a saying about a man of few words to new extremes. "Those who go unnoticed see more than anyone realizes. And..." he shrugs and holds out his hands, palms up. "They are often much more in need of my help." Fox hums, considering that. "Do you help them so they'll owe you? Or do you help them because no one else will?" John meets Fox's gaze, pale eyes Beskar hard. "I will always help those who need it." The conviction behind the words leads Fox to believe that John is talking about more than just those living in Coruscant's poverty-stricken areas. Fox nods once, a curt acknowledgement of the words and all John means by them. "And yet, how do you know who to help?" "The Force guides me. I trust it to guide me where I'm needed most." Fox tilts his head, a gesture so ingrained that even without his bucket on, he can't quite get away from it. "Is that why you're with the guard? The Force hasn't called you elsewhere?" John smiles, wry and joyless. "I have never met anyone in need of help more than you and your brethren, Commander Fox. I only wish I had it in my power to do more." Fox's throat tightens. Quinlan has said as much, more or less, but... well, hearing it always makes it feel more real for a moment. Too real to bear. But Fox breathes, and it eases, and he continues to bear it still. "You want to kill the Sith Lord," Fox says, voice almost as rough as John's around the knot in his throat. "That would do more for us than anything else anyone could do." "I will," John promises. There's no way he can be certain, can know that even if he finds the Sith, that he can know he'll defeat them. And yet, the conviction in John's promise is hard to meet with skepticism. Fox nods once and ignores the burning behind his eyes. "I'll help," he promises, and holds his hand out, an offer. John hesitates, but after a few moments, he reaches out and clasps Fox's wrist, a Mandalorian gesture. Acceptance of Fox's pledge, and an agreement to include him in his plans when the time comes. When John pulls back, Fox finds himself missing the contact. Fox finally gives in and messages Quinlan, "I like the present. Thank you." He doesn't expect a reply anytime soon. Quinlan is off the grid again, going radio silent increasingly often as the war drags on. Fox worries, but he's too busy to worry too much about anything beyond whatever crisis has fallen into the guard's lap at any given time. Quinlan will come back. He has to. Fox cannot allow himself to imagine any other alternative. Until then, the guard has John. Fox doesn't know if anyone can keep them safe, but he believes that John will try. Whatever the Jedi Order's feelings on trying may be, Fox appreciates the effort even more than the result. A person who will risk themselves for a clone is rare, and John is all the more valuable to them for that. Hours, Fox thinks as he falls asleep watching John meditate a few paces away, just out of arm's reach. Even in Fox's head, he knows that what he really means is mine. The end.
Yeah, I swing from believing that maybe my working will all pay off, to considering drinking with Molotov. I'm halfway out the door. Maybe then my breath could embody a wildfire star. I'd sweep out the forest floor. Life into the corners, be a darker soul.